online at tpan.info. The last 2 years has seen unprecedented mobilizations around the world in solidarity with the Palestinian people. These street-level and community-level mobilizations for justice have really been at odds with the political and economic interests of Western power structures. In the context of Australia, a territory that is indigenous territory, I thought it would be important to hear from a local organization that is building support for Palestinian human rights in Australia, but also visiting and addressing the dynamics around indigenous solidarity work locally. It was really a pleasure to hear about the Tasmanian Palestine Advocacy Network for this edition of Free City Radio. Here's my conversation.
The last 2 years has seen massive solidarity actions with the Palestinian people taking place all across the globe. That, of course, includes Australia, where in recent weeks, and we're speaking in August 2025, there's been a very significant protest that took place in Sydney, Australia. I'm sure some people hearing this will have seen images of many, many thousands of people walking across a major bridge in Sydney. Of course, that's one moment, but there's ongoing organizing in different parts of Australia, and that includes Tasmania. So I think that it would be really interesting for people to hear a bit about the group in Tasmania, and then just sort of getting a sense of the multitude of organizing in Australia. Of course, there's a connection to Australia's own colonial history vis-a-vis Indigenous people. Maybe that's a good place to start. But first, just please fully introduce yourself, how you'd like people to hear from you and the organization that you're part of.
Absolutely. My name's Caitlin Shaheen. I am a white settler that lives in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Lutruwita is the indigenous Palawa name for Tasmania. Specifically, I live in a city of Nipaluna, or Hobart in English. I've been living here for 3 years with my husband, who is a Palestinian man. His parents are from Gaza and Al-Lid, which is currently part of occupied Palestine. We, in among other activists, in early November 2023, like many people around the world, were at a loss. We were forced into deep, spontaneous grief, watching it on our screens, with, you know, holding our breath, knowing that this was not going to be a great time for Palestinians. Not that the last 77 years has been a great time for Palestinians, but knowing specifically what this type of blueprint that the Israeli occupation would walk down. And I think, sadly, we're sitting here, you know, 18, 19 months later with that exact reality. And the group that I'm a part of is called the Tasmanian Palestine Advocacy Network, so TPAN for short. It's probably a lot easier to refer to us as TPAN. And we're made up of a group of grassroots activists who all live predominantly in Nipaluna, but we do have activists from across the state. Lutruwita, Tasmania, is a very, very interesting place. For those who don't know Australia very well, we are an island off the mainland island of Australia, so quite geographically isolated. And that definitely has an impact on the type of grassroots work that we do. There's sort of a mentality here of regional, rural mentality of that isolationist perspective in the community. But conversely, and also more importantly, that has manifested itself in other types of activism to be sort of quite strong and quite powerful, because of that sort of need of advocacy in general. So we felfelt very supported in November of 2023 to embark on this grassroots activism for Palestine. We were preceded, and they still exist, by a smaller group called Friends of Palestine Tasmania, which was mainly run by retirees who, for whatever reason, over the course of their life had become involved with the issue of Palestine. And they just didn't have the capacity at the time to sort of start doing mass protests. They had previously done a lot more educational resourcing, small Nakba Remembrance Day marches and fundraising activities, you know, quite sporadically. So obviously we had a lot of momentum. We were trying to channel this grief somewhere. We were trying to experience that grief in community and with people, and that really just manifested itself very first and foremost with just meeting once a week at the steps of our town hall, which, you know, is a colonial marker. So obviously there's that deep, deep mirrored history of occupation and genocide, massacres, colonial violence and other human rights abuses. And we started off as 30 people, you know, in a place as regional, as small as Nipaluna. You know, we weren't really sure of the reception that we were going to get. We weren't sure if people even knew really where Palestine was. They didn't really know much about Middle Eastern politics. And I'm now talking predominantly about the white dominant culture that we have in Australia. So obviously discluding Aboriginal folks, Indigenous people of this land, Arabs in diaspora, Muslims, you know, all of these groups of people already knew about the topic of Palestine. But potentially the dynamic is that they didn't have a space to talk about Palestine. So when October 2023 hit, there's a void. There's a void in the space. And we started organically. We formed in a car park. You know, we made a sort of quasi committee so we could get some decisions made. We could get a logo. We could start an Instagram page. We could, you know, and organize ourselves very organically. And since we've just been organizing ever since, every single day, I've become lifelong friends with some of my fellow organizers. And, you know, if there was a positive side to all of this, it would be that ability of grassroots organizations like TPAN to instill a sense of belonging for pro-Palestinian people. And like I said, that's always included Indigenous folk, Arabs, Palestinians, Muslims. It's been sort of like the honor of, at least for me, is to even be a part of creating that space for people who need to grieve and people who need to feel connected to each other through this time.
For people who are hearing this, Nipaluna is there's a larger area of Nipaluna, and there's a colonial name for the city, which I believe is Hobart. Yeah, just for people to sort of have a sense of where you're talking about. Thank you for that. The dynamics that you're describing about holding space, I think, are really important. And a number of people in different cities around the world have named that and talked about the power of demonstrations in relation to holding that space in a public setting, but also the learning that happens in social movements. The late scholar Aziz Chaudhry, who had quite a few connections to Australia and New Zealand, he always wrote and talked about the learning within social movements and the sort of cross-pollination that takes place. I would imagine in your particular context, that means also some people coming to terms with and learning about Indigenous struggles and history in the context of Australia. So it'd be great to, of course, hear about your ongoing work to lift up and speak to the genocide that is taking place in Gaza right now at the hands of the Israeli state, but how acting against that also creates space to talk about other critical issues like contemporary Indigenous struggles today in Australia, which are obviously ongoing.
Mm, absolutely. We've been very fortunate to be welcomed so warmly by the Aboriginal community here in Nipaluna specifically, but also across Lutruwita. So just to give a brief rundown for people who might not be aware about sort of the mechanism of British colonization that happened on this land. Tasmania, unfortunately, was quite affected by the British colonization. I would say probably more widespread than mainland Australia. And potentially that has a lot to do with the smaller geography of the place, but also just with sort of settlers landing in specific times and in specific places with specific ideas in mind. So unfortunately, the traditional owners of this land, the Muwinina people, did not survive colonization. We actually experienced a total genocide of these people on this land. And a lot of people don't know that. So at the moment, the Aboriginal people of Lutruwita are actually a combination of many Indigenous groups that have had to piece together their indigeneity through experiencing extremely widespread genocide. So they now band together under the term Palawa, which basically means Tasmanian Aboriginal, and they are kind of one cohesive group now. They are trying to reactivate many languages through the creation of Palawakani, so the speak of Tasmanian Aboriginals, which collects whatever remnants of all of these diverse languages that used to exist to come and bring them together. So the story of genocide on this land is deeply traumatic. It's omnipresent, as in you can still feel it today, again, because we have an Indigenous population attempting their revival actively. And that was something that a few of the organisers of TPAN really wanted to bring with us on whatever educational journey we were going to offer the general population about Palestine. We can't speak about a settler colonial project unless we're willing to interrogate the one that we are a part of. And that was very important to us and still is very important to us. So I'm not sure if you have it in Canada, but in Australia, we have this idea or concept of welcome to country and acknowledgement of country. So welcome to country is only able to be given by an Indigenous person and only able to be given by an Indigenous person of their traditional lands. An acknowledgement of country can be given by anyone, but that's basically like if you're not a part of that group, you're acknowledging the traditional lands and the people who have sovereignty over them. And that, in a Western colonial mindset, you know, people see that as a tick box. So they say a little script and they make it very impersonal and they just sort of do it because they have to. And that's the way that, you know, the society has told them to behave. But when we speak with Palawa mob here, they have requested of us to make it more personal. So when we're acknowledging that lands, we talk about deep friendship and deep shared histories between the Palestinians and Indigenous Tasmanians, because they are the first people who can recognize what a genocide looks like, having gone through such an extensive genocide themselves. So at the forefront of our mind in TPAN is to always learn from that, and to learn not only the deep trauma, but also the sense of resistance, right? And we are always grateful for whatever advice, whatever space that they can give us. So every time we're at our rallies, we always do an acknowledgement to country and we always share resources or events or initiatives that our local Aboriginal community would be requesting. We lend our support for their protests, their, you know, their climate actions, whatever we can. You know, it's never too much to ask, because for us, we see the dismantling of the settler colonial project here as important as the one in Palestine. They cannot be divorced from each other. We cannot be seen to be advocating for an Indigenous sovereignty halfway across the world if we're not willing to challenge that in our home. We've managed to do quite a bit of work with the local Palawa community. We were fortunate enough to get a bit of money from a federal body some grant money, and we decided to put on a program that we titled Sharing Histories. And this was a set of, I think every month we did an event where we basically looked at the parallels of the history of Palestinians and the history of local Tasmanian Aboriginals. And these centered around themes. So the first one was actually a closed community event. So only Tasmanian Aboriginals, Palestinians or Arabs could attend. So no white settlers. It was just a space for them to share that deep connection to country, that deep connection to culture. You know, maybe even actively mourn that if it's missing from them, or reinforce the relationship they have to that. And then sort of all the events after that were publicly open. So we did one centering around food, which we hosted during Ramadan this year. Yeah. So we invited people from the Aboriginal community to partake in iftar, and we did a bit of a cultural sharing, and they shared a bit about food sovereignty and natural native products and how to eat them, how to cook them, what season to harvest them in or forage. We did one about music, where Tasmanian Aboriginal woman could speak her spoken word poetry and sing morning songs for us. We had an oud player play who's from Gaza. We did a dubka workshop together. So, you know, it was just trying to sort of understand in a cultural way that these two issues are intertwined, that although they look very different, they are very different cultures, that overall, like, our goal is to maintain Indigenous sovereignty in these places and maintain and fight against erasure of Indigenous cultures. And yeah, we had a really good public reception to these events, very well attended. And I think a lot of people, like we were sort of saying before, almost need events like this to hold a mirror against how they see the settler colonial project in Australia. You know, it might, in some ways, it's sometimes easier to look at something over there in the Middle East or away from you and sort of say, yeah, of course that's wrong. But to have that mirror to show them up close that it's actually always been wrong was very important to us. And in turn, you know, some of our most staunch supporters are from the Tasmanian Aboriginal community. And again, no ask is too much for them. They will show up at every single event. They will, they freely speak about their connection to Palestine, the topic that a lot of them have had a connection to since the moment they were born. They've seen this struggle for Indigenous self-determination a world away, and they understand it implicitly. So yeah, we've been very grateful for that meaningful friendship and meaningful connection with them. And we hope that, you know, long after Palestine is free, that we would continue to maintain that connection until there's treaty on this land at a bare minimum, which I don't know, for people who aren't familiar with the history of colonialism here, that Australia doesn't have treaty with its Indigenous populations, which many other countries do. And it's a deep shame of our country that we do not have this. So yeah, it's a poignant reminder that there's still a lot to do here, as well as a lot to do with Palestine.
The term here in Canada is unceded territory, and that is the majority of territory of what is called Canada. Thanks for sharing that context. Maybe you could just talk a bit about important ways that you feel grassroots activism can change the conversation. I noticed that the actions in Australia have clearly had an impact on the government. The actions on the streets have impacted government policy in many places. And I feel like there's often this sort of tension around the acknowledgement that popular protests do shape major international policy decisions, whether it's in Australia or France or South Africa, and the role of social movements. And I would be interested in hearing your perspective on that from an Australian context.
Yeah, absolutely. Australia's a big place, so sometimes it's hard. There's not sort of one blueprint that works, but I can definitely speak to sort of how TPAN has found that connection as a grassroots movement to the sort of systems that we can interact with. Because Tasmania is such a small place with a smallish population, we've actually found it to be quite easy to access our political system, much more so than a major city where there might be lots of layers and barriers to jump through. I mean, I can walk where we walk for our protests on a fortnightly basis. One of the federal senators' offices is nearby our route. So, you know, it's that proximity to the political system that we have. And thankfully, we have a lot of in-person access to these change makers from the whole spectrum of politics. Obviously, we are, you know, more welcome on the left side of the spectrum. And we've thankfully got a really great party here called the Greens Party, who has from the beginning been supportive of grassroots activism groups. Specifically, one senator we have here, Nick McKim, has done some marvelous work with us and often, you know, is not asking us to change or mitigate our stance to suit his agenda. He, you know, sort of verbatim will pass on our requirements or our demands. So one distinct example was my husband basically wrote a speech, a 2-minute speech, because that's how much this senator had in parliament. And he simply got up and said, these are the words of Faraz Shaheen. And he said the whole speech and that was it. And, you know, that was shared across Australia and people were really responsive to that type of engagement from our political candidates and representatives, who I would argue that's the actual reason that they're elected, is to do that sort of work, is to put the voice of the community on a larger scale. So we've had great, relationships with him, and his entire office has been amazing. They gave us free office space. They print off all our flyers. They help us fundraise by doing specific events and things like that. So we've been quite fortunate with them. And thankfully, the Greens Party in Australia was actually founded in Tasmania. So there's a deep sort of respect and love of that political party in this place. And it's got a long history with climate activism and other activist initiatives that all started grassroots. So that's sort of like in the minds of a lot of people here, I would say, is that history and that connection to grassroots activism. Other things that we're able to do is, again, you know, purely just a response to the small population and maybe the lack of bureaucracy that exists. But we've been able to do a lot more spontaneous actions with sort of little repercussions. For a while there at the start of the latest iteration of genocide, we were doing what we call die-ins, where we would just spontaneously go to very popular places. Everyone would lay down on the ground, draped in their kafirs, and one of our spokespeople would read off the names of the people who'd been killed that day. And we were able to do that with no issue. No one tried to stop us. No police were called. Some heckling from general population, but by and large, you know, not a huge sort of response or overwhelming anti-Palestinian sentiment. And we've had some, because of that and because of the general sort of, acceptance that, if not on the issue of Palestine, but on the acceptance alone that grassroots activism is fundamentally a right and fundamentally a value to the society, we've just been able to sort of open a lot of doors really fast, I think. People obviously have a sense that this issue is very urgent. I mean, people are losing their lives every single hour of every single day and have done for, you know, far too long. But I think that paired with the sort of the fabric of Tasmanian society by and large, of this sort of acceptance of activism, I think has really helped us, that I know that some of the major cities on the mainland of Australia have not experienced. I mean, you commented earlier about the Sydney March, and there was a huge, you know, they had to go to the Supreme Court to basically be able to do that march. And thankfully, the court found in their favor. But yeah, we've not had that kind of, I guess, hurdles here, which has sort of meant that we've been able to keep momentum. We've been able to diversify our activism through many streams.
That gives us a picture and some context. So thank you so much for taking the time to outline that. And so just also before we go, if you could just share the name of your website for the group, the Solidarity Initiative in Tasmania. And also we'll include that in the notes on this program. So for anybody hearing on an AM or FM station in Canada, this is Free City Radio, and you can find our archives at soundcloud.com/Free City Radio. Yeah, so please share the website of your organization. And thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. Yeah, so you can find all more about Tasmanian Palestine Advocacy Network at our website, which is tpan.info. Or more prominently, we do a lot of our activism online and social media, like many groups. And our handle is tpanlutruwita. Lutruwita spelled Lutruwita.
That was a member of the Tasmania Palestine Advocacy Network. You can learn more about this group in Australia at tpan.info. I'm Stefan Christoph. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. Thank you to the Social Justice Center at Concordia University for supporting this radio project. We broadcast weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CJLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m., on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., on CGSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m., and on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Stefan Christoph, and I'll speak to you next week.
The staff and volunteers of CJSF wish you a safe and happy holiday season.
Hi, this is Sukyun Lee, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby.